Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show on this Wednesday morning, the 16th of September 2020. Andrew Mayne's with you for the next 25 minutes to bring you up to date on everything that's happened in the world of racing and sport over the last 24 hours. Let's start with the footy, though, where Matthew Knight yesterday was talking about the availability of Gary Ablett ahead of the final round of footy before we start finals.
It was just a great lift for the group. He got a, you know, a raucous cheer when we announced he was back. And, yeah, he trained really well today. He got through the session unscathed and moved really well. So it looks really promising for Sunday's game.
Joel Selwood's been 2 weeks away for about 15 weeks. Will he finally make his comeback for the Cats before the finals?
He's done an enormous amount of work and could have quite easily played last week, but we chose for him to have another week on the track. He trained beautifully today. Got a lot of hand on ball. His touch looks good.
Lots of news to get through from the footy world as well as cricket ahead of the deciding one-day international between Australia and England later on tonight. Tennis continues ahead of the French Open in a week or so. NRL, rugby, NBA, NFL and NHL news coming your way next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
After six this morning, the Breakfast Club continues with Huff and Whitey. Plenty to come there as well with David Hussey to join them from India. Nice and early from the IPL, which is just about to commence the early mail before 7 o'clock. No good again yesterday. Don't mention the war. Sherelle McMahon after seven is the Breakfast Club co-host. She'll join the guys for a big hour where Lucas Michel will join us from the US Open. He's an Australian amateur golfer playing at Wingfoot this week. Taylor Adams, Collingwood midfielder, plus Nat Medhurst, Australian Diamonds legend. David King to join the guys after eight this morning. And Tom Bell Chambers, the retiring Essendon ruckman, will jump on the line before the end of the show. After 8:30 this morning, Racing Pulse continues with Michael Felgate. Looking forward to hearing the latest edition of the Melbourne Cup Diaries as we build up to that first Tuesday in November. Then after 10:30, RSN Central with Gareth Orr, and plenty to come on what will be a chock-a-block edition on your Wednesday in the lead-up to the first race today. Let's start with the footy world, though, on the Breakfast Bite. And we'll start with a couple of retirements yesterday. Cade Simpson will play his 342nd and final game this week for Carlton against Brisbane. Here's him addressing the playing group yesterday.
This will be my last game this weekend. So it's sort of all happened pretty quick the last sort of few weeks. I could have never dreamt when I walked through the door straight out of high school that I would have been here half my life longer. So, along with my family and my wife, they've probably shaped me in, the club has shaped me into the person I am today. I obviously want to finish off on a good note and just looking forward, trying to enjoy this week and this weekend. It'd be nice to go out with a win and help you guys build your brand and move forward into next year, because I really believe in this group and see the talent that's in the room. Yeah, half my life, I don't know, it's probably sounds stupid that it's gone quick, but yeah, I still remember the first time I walked into the club, I didn't know the access code to get into the ground, and I made sure I wasn't late. I was there about 3 hours early, and the first bloke I met was Brett Ratton coming in and punched in the code and let me know the code. And then when I got given number six, I was sitting between Rats and Andy McKay, so it was pretty daunting first sort of day at the club. As I said, there's been many ups and plenty of downs along the way, I've enjoyed all of it.
To David Teague now, the Blues coach, who of course played with Cade Simpson during his time as a player at the club. This is what he had to say in paying tribute to one of Carlton's most ever cap players.
I'm not a wordsmith. I wouldn't be able to put Simms' career and the respect you've earned into words. I rocked up at this footy club, and Shane I'll know even better, but I turned up probably a couple of years in and Simsy was this thick, and we didn't know the size of him, and you looked at him and he wasn't an AFL footballer. You just had a look at him and you said, this guy, is he going to make it? He had good skills, but now he's in the top 20 of all time games played, third for our club, the top 20 in the history of the game. games played, mate, and it's from your heart. It's the way you go about it. It's the effort. It's your preparation, but attention to detail. And it's something we've got to learn from him, because we've got to get that better. But you don't get to this stage of your career from getting lucky. It's from putting the time in, the work in. On the back of that, there's a fair bit of talent there too, mate. And your courage, your heart, the way you put the club first has been super.
Tom Bell Chambers will also hang up the boots, and he will join the Breakfast Club before 8:30 this morning. Here's what he said yesterday after announcing this year will be his last.
Yeah, it's been a really easy decision for me to make. It's been 13 years and I've certainly loved my journey at this football club. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and I wouldn't change anything for the world. Probably the biggest part of me to come to this decision is AFL is a really physical and brutal sport. You know, when you get to my age, you need to be able to play at a certain level, and physically it's probably made it more evident to me that my time's done as a player, and I probably can't do the things that I used to do on the football field. And I feel as though physically I've given everything I can to this football club, and that's probably what makes my decision a little bit easier. And I can really hold my head high walking away, knowing that I've given everything to this football club from a physical point of view over my 13 years. I've been in such a lucky position to play for Essendon for 13 years, and along that journey you meet some really, really good people, and you make some, form some really good friendships and bonds on and off the field. And I think that's probably going to be the biggest thing for me that I'm going to miss. You know, although I haven't had the success on the ground that I would have loved coming into my career, I probably see myself as, you know, my success has been the relationships and the bonds that I form with boys off the ground, and that's really important to me. You know, I started playing footy as a junior to play with my mates, and I can honestly say that, you know, that's probably what's got me so far in my career, that I've always played football for my mates and enjoyed that side of the game, and I think that's what's held me in good stead for the past 13 years.
So a couple of big announcements in the footy world yesterday. We'll hear more footy news from the finals contenders a little later in the show, including Adam Simpson from the Eagles, Jake Lever from the D's, and Tom Rockliffe from the Power. Let's head to the cricket world now, where Australia play England in the third and final one-day international later on tonight, 10 p.m. The first ball to be bowled. Justin Langer here yesterday giving us an update on Steve Smith and whether he'll be fit for the decider.
He did all his running yesterday. He did some high-speed running, worked hard as part of the protocols. He has ticked every box at the moment, so he'll 100% have a bat this afternoon.
So you think he would be back into the lineup, Steve Smith? Alan Border here speaking on Fox Sports on who he thinks should make way.
Yeah, probably Stoinis, I think, although he's been in reasonable sort of touch, but, you know, Steve Smith's a quality player, you know, he makes such a difference, that batting order, doesn't he? So I think Stoinis would be the one to go for me. And I think Mitchell Marsh has done enough to keep his spot, as have the other guys in that side. So we need runs from Smith and we need runs from Warner at the top. That'd be fantastic if that all just clicks in this game. Well, playing in Manchester, maybe Nathan Lyon comes into contention, you know, playing two spinners. Because Zampa's done such a great job. So maybe they'll consider playing Nathan Lyon as the wickets start to wear in that Manchester surface that they're playing on. It looks like they've decided, the hierarchy, that they're going to go with their best group of blokes for every particular game, rather than an experimental type tour and giving the young guys a bit of a game. So, yeah, disappointing for those young fellas, but a great experience for them to be away on tour. But I don't think we'll be tinkering around with the side tonight. But I think they'll be very, very keen to finish that series on a high.
Alan Border speaking yesterday on Fox Sports to Chris Wokes now from the English side, ahead of the decider.
I don't know. I think, you know, we look to go into each game and play each game as it comes. You know, we obviously played against Australia a hell of a lot over the last few years, and you know, we've obviously got a record in white ball cricket against them most recently, probably. But you know, we know how dangerous they can be. They're obviously a good side. You know, they showed that in, you know, a couple of occasions this summer, but also last summer during the World Cup. You know how dangerous they can be as well. So you know, I think we'll obviously reassess look at what we can do to try and beat them tomorrow. But you know, we'll obviously look at the positives and take the positives from the last couple of games. But also, there's probably a few things that we need to work on as well ourselves. So yeah, of course, we obviously look at the opposition, but we also, you know, try and stick to what we know we can do really well.
First ball to be bowled, 10 p.m. tonight. Before we hit the ad break, let's have a listen to Novak Djokovic. He has broken his silence, finally, on what happened at the US Open. He spoke overnight.
Well, of course, it was a shock to finish the US Open the way it was finished for me. First time in my career that something like this happens. Of course, you know, it could have happened earlier in my career. You know, could have happened to many players. You know, that the ball hits a line umpire, and I was just unfortunate that I did hit a line umpire in a very awkward place. And look, there was a lot of speculations and discussions whether it was deserved or not. I accepted it and I moved on. I checked on Laura after the match. She said that she was fine. There was no big injuries. I felt really sorry to cause the shock and drama to her, because you know, she didn't deserve that in any way. You know, she obviously is volunteering as well and doing her work. She loves tennis, and she's been there, as I understood, for quite a few years. And it's unfortunate, you know, for both of us to kind of experience that, but at the same time, you know, we probably had to experience something like that. You know, life just arranged things to happen in that way, which was very awkward and disappointing for me to finish off, as I said, the US Open that way, because I felt very good about myself, my game. I won the Western and Southern Open, played on the same courts of US Open, and came into the fourth round feeling really good, hitting the ball really nicely and confident, ready in every aspect. But yeah, I mean, it was totally unexpected and very, very unintended as well.
Novak Djokovic there last night, finally breaking his silence over what happened at the US Open. Still really not taking the full responsibility. But anyway, Novak will have his sights set firmly on getting another Grand Slam this year when the French Open kicks off in the next couple of weeks. Time for a break on RSN. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on a bit of NRL news with the strange situation taking place in the Melbourne Storms match this week, plus some rugby, tennis, NBA, NFL and NHL, all next on The Breakfast Bite.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And there we go. Sign sealed, delivered. John Millman, it is a straight sets win, two very close sets.
Yes, good news for John Millman over Souza. He is through to the round of 32 at the Italian Open, which is in the build-up to the French Open. A few of the other winners, unfortunately, Alex Diminor went down in three sets in a tiebreak in the third, 8 points to six to Köpfer of Germany. Shapovalov and a couple of the other big seeds all going through, including David Goffin as well. So no big upsets there, but the good news from an Australian perspective is John Millman is through to the next round. In terms of the women's side of things, no Aussies in action, but we've got plenty of big names, including Simona Halep, who's about to step out onto court in action there at the Italian Open. So lots to come in the build-up to the French Open. Let's head to a bit of NBA action now. We've got a Game 7 today, which is always exciting in the NBA playoffs. The Clippers will face the Nuggets at 11 o'clock. This series tied at 3-all, the winner to take on the Lakers in their conference playoff series. Let's hear from the Clippers coach, Doc Rivers, who yesterday said they need to concede a lot less fouls than what they have been.
The foul troubles by our guards, they have been very hurtful in this series, not just the last two games. We got to keep our guards on the floor because when we don't, we got to go to lineups defensively that are not desirable.
Two games in the NFL yesterday. The Steelers beat the Giants 26 points to 16, and the Titans beat the Broncos 16-14. Their kicker was off target, 0 from 3, and it came down to this.
And here we are. Steven Gostkowski trots onto the field. He can erase the nightmare of a game that it is for him with four missed kicks by just hitting this one. A chippy from 25. On the way. And splits the uprights like he's been doing it all night.
Love to see it, though. Love to see it.
16-14, Tennessee.
One from four, but he put the most important one between the posts, awarding Tennessee the win 16-14, as you heard there. Oh, well, hopefully everyone remembers that kick and not the three before. Let's head to the NHL now. We've got a bit of a surprise. The Dallas Stars are into the Stanley Cup Final.
Side now, in control, wound out by Hintz for Klingberg. One-timer, scores! Dennis Gorianov wins it in overtime.
Klingberg to Gorianov, short side on the glove hand of Robin Lehner.
3-2, the final score. They take the series against the Golden Knights 4-1. Today, Tampa Bay Lightning will look to book their place against the Stars with their match against the New York Islanders. 3-1, they lead their series. So a win will clinch them a Stanley Cup berth as well. Let's head to the NRL world. Fascinating situation playing out at the Melbourne Storm, where it is Harry Grant, who's on loan from the club as one of their most promising replacements for Cameron Smith. He's going to come up against his mentor this weekend. This is what he had to say about facing the Storm.
I love playing against my mates, so that's all the games that I enjoy the most. So this one, I got a good relationship with all the boys, and that's the way I'm looking at it, just getting to play against my mates, with my mates, against my mates. I can't really imagine a game without Cam in it next year, so I'll probably retire before he does.
So there we go, Harry Grant yesterday, but a weird situation where we're still yet to know if he'll be part of the Storm going forward. He could be the next, or could be the Cameron Smith replacement for the next 5 to 10 years. He also might be let go if they can't squeeze him in with Cameron Smith sticking around for another season. We'll wait and see what happens there in the next couple of weeks. Let's head back to the footy world, where Adam Simpson yesterday spoke on Channel 7. He outlined what the finals plan will be for the West Coast Eagles after the AFL released a preliminary fixture with all the permutations yesterday.
Yeah, well, I don't think we can finish any lower than fifth. So if we end up in that position, I think we'll be playing a home final in WA. So regardless of what happens this weekend, we'll come back late this week and go into the isolation and quarantine that the government set out. And then we'll we could be back on the plane playing a final if we finish top four, or we stay in Perth if we finish fifth. I think we'd take the double chance. Mm. If we could, Baz, so yeah, no argument there. We're more than happy to come over here if we get a double chance.
And then the West Coast injuries. Who will be back over the next couple of weeks? He starts here, Adam Simpson, on Channel 7 by talking about Luke Shuey.
Well, he trained today, and same with Jack Redden. So they're on track for the first final. They won't play this week, but the fact they're out on the track, Hutchings was running around doing laps. I saw Elliot Yeo running as well. Lewis Jetta is out there, and obviously Jamie Cripps back home. I'm seeing some vision of him running around. He's not in the right state. So we've got some players to come back in. I think we get Dom Sheed back this week. He was touch and go, but 4 day break into the Saints, so we rested him, and so he'll be available this week. But there won't be too many guys coming back before finals. Yeah, really unfortunate for Gov, who's probably our best player up until he got injured, and he looked like he was going to have a really good day. So it'll be touch and go for the first final. And if we advance, that's probably the best case scenario. It would be the second final if we happen to get through the first week. Yeah, unfortunately, he won't be available for a few weeks, but someone else has just got to step up.
Well, Huff and Whitey better have a chat to Adam Simpson, telling Porky's on the Breakfast Club last week, where he said Jack Redden would pretty much be out for the season. He trained yesterday. Well, that's a good turnaround for the West Coast Eagles. They need a few of those players to come back, as he said, over the next couple of weeks as we enter the final series. To Jake Lever now from the D's. He's talking about the fate, which is, unfortunately for Melbourne supporters, not in their own hands. He spoke to Channel 9 yesterday.
A little bit disappointed that we've probably put ourselves in this predicament. I do watch a lot of footy. I probably watch Friday night, not necessarily... I'm definitely worried about the results. I don't think it's going to define our season. I think that... we've had a season of, yeah, definitely some ups and downs. Speaking to some of the backline players, it was just really about simplifying their roles and not necessarily wanting to, you know, do everything themselves, but just really buying into the team.
Tom Rockliffe yesterday spoke ahead of Port's final game. Of course, they are going to finish, if they win this week, on top of the AFL ladder.
Starting to build nicely towards finals. We felt like we had a little flat patch maybe a couple of weeks ago, but we've started to play some really good team footy, and I'm really excited about what the rest of the season holds for us. It's been a unique season, that's for sure. One that hopefully we never face again. As a competition, there's been circumstances around that, but I feel like we're in a really good place as a football club. We've worked really hard through the off season, through the pre-season to get to where we are now, and the club's made some really big decisions. Chris Davies and the list management have gone about it really strongly, and we've brought in some super talent draftees, young kids coming through that have brought so much life and energy to the group. And this season's been, as I said before, unique, but really exciting for us as well as a playing group. I think you've seen that out on the field, how tightly connected we are and the exciting footy that we're playing. There's no doubt that you can see the list turnover over the last couple of years has been quite aggressive, and we sit where we are because we've really bought in a game plan, and the coaches have put a game plan in place for us that we believe will hold us in good stead come October this year, not September.
They play the Pies for that top spot on the weekend. And this is good news for the Pies, with Isaac Quayner last night being awarded the Rising Star nomination for the round.
It was a bit of a surprise. It got announced in front of all the boys. And, wasn't expecting it at all. So, great surprise. The coaches are instilling a lot of confidence in me. And I'm starting to string together a few games. So, starting to feel like I'm, you know, being able to play my game. So, I'm really enjoying it out there. And it's good to get the win as well. My first thoughts were just to get my leg back together, and but I had messages of people thinking that I'd done a compound fracture or I'd done my knee, so thankfully it was just a pretty hefty cut, and it was only 3 weeks on the sideline, and yeah, I was able to get back in, which was good.
That's it for The Breakfast Bite on this Wednesday morning. Stick around, The Breakfast Club up next after the 6 o'clock news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.